Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. Maloff, here. I am joined by Seth Haphagger.
Good morning, all.
We hope you're having a great start to your day. That was good. You gotta keep that. That was a good morning. I like that. We got great fun stuff going on this morning. We're going to get into our National Day of Calendar in just a little bit. Spoiler alert, it's Groundhog Day.
It is.
I know. Nobody's told you that already. It's 7:05 and nobody's told you that it's Groundhog Day.
Groundhog Day.
We're breaking news. We've got a bunch of random weird facts about Groundhog's Day because that's what we do around here. Mm-hmm. I can't just do facts. I've got to do weird random ones.
Facts,
I've got to find some, you know, out there kind of things. And I was actually surprised by some of this, man.
Okay. But,
man, I thought it was just my dad's side of the family that had that, like, you know, network of guys that, you know, quote unquote, do certain things and all this and everything. Puxatony Phil's got that, man. Like, I didn't even know. I'm going to check that out a little bit.
He knows a guy, huh?
He knows a guy.
He knows a guy.
Yes, he does. I'll get into that a little bit later. We're going to get into a couple of other things. In fact, one of them that touches a little close to home for Seth, his Minnesota roots.
All right.
All that coming up for you. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. Looking forward to celebrating with all of you. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to kick things off with our Pet of the Week from the Southfield County Humane Society.
Yay!
We're so darn excited about this.
Yeah,
we love hanging out with our friends from the Humane Society. And it's not just the furry friend we bring in. We like hanging out with Madison, too.
Mm-hmm.
And shout out to and a good morning to our friends and all the furry animals over at the Southfield County Humane Society.
Yes, indeed.
A big shout out as well to Club Forest Bar and Restaurant sponsoring this segment.
Yes, indeed.
If any longtime residents of the area will tell you, one of the first things that you know about Club Forest is Capone apparently hung out there a bit and everything. So I'm noticing already we've hit a trend having me on the air that are automatically like knocks your Italian roots, you know,
yeah,
way
that's true,
up
yeah.
there, way up there. But then you've got these other references that are already showing up.
That's hilarious.
Especially I start the morning. I got a different laptop I'm using. And thank you to our general manager, Chuck Gennaro, mm-hmm. for helping me out with that and using this. But the mouse went on it. So I've got to use this, one of those handheld mice. What are they?
It's the wireless one.
It's a wireless
mouse. It's a wireless mouse.
Wireless
yeah.
mouse. That's a better way to put
yeah.
it. I'm using a wireless mouse for the laptop, and I'm also using a mouse for the computer that I use for all of our commercials
yep.
and to play our sound effects and, mm-hmm. you know, that one sound effect we have. And
yeah,
everything.
The one.
So, yeah,
we have.
So being able to do these things. Oh, wait. We actually, we do have one other sound effect that I use sparingly.
Yeah.
Oh! Yeah, I don't use it too much, but everyone's because I usually do it myself.
Oh! It's true, yeah. You've honed your doughs pretty well, so you can use it.
Yeah, I got all these mice over here. What am I, Cinderella? Are you going to start singing to me over here or something?
Cinderella.
We are going to have some fun this morning. Seth, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing fine.
Good to hear.
I just haven't had enough coffee yet. That's why I'm kind of goofy.
I feel like it takes me at least the first half an hour
yeah.
to really get going. I'm awake around 5:30,
yeah.
and I get here as early as I can, or get my day started as early as I can,
mm-hmm.
getting into the fold.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a whole different thing when you actually open your mouth, turn these microphones on.
It is.
Everything starts rolling.
Yeah.
That's when you're really like, okay.
I'm awake now.
Yeah. Oh, my voice is really all over. Oh, geez, I got to really work that. You really figure those things out.
Mm-hmm.
So why don't we kick things off with Groundhog Day?
All right, let's do it.
And some random weird facts about this day. Now, as I mentioned, there's some fun stuff about. I can't figure out which mouse
I'm grabbing. To use. I don't know.
I'm grabbing each mice.
Boy.
Puxatony Phil has an inner circle.
An inner circle?
He's got an inner circle. Don't say it so loud. You got to keep it on the hush. He's
okay.
got an inner circle. Keep this between all of us, everybody.
All right.
Those men in the top hats aren't random. They're called the inner circle. They're responsible for planning the events around Groundhog Day. No small feat, considering this year's events span over a week.
Wow.
And, of course, they care for Phil year-round as mm-hmm. well.
That's right.
I was always kind of curious about this.
Yeah.
I was always kind of, I don't remember hearing that before. There's some other interesting things. And one of these, like this one right here, I feel like we all kind of understand. Don't put too much stock in Puxatony Phil's predictions.
No.
He's been making them since 1886.
Wow.
Let this poor thing retire. Let him retire.
Phil is so tired.
He's so tired. And he's only been right 39% of the time.
Oh, that's not very good.
So you'd be better off flipping a coin. That said, the Groundhog Club claims he's never wrong. They say it's their fault for misinterpreting his language. Groundhoggies.
Oh, no.
I love that. No, I love that. That's awesome.
Groundhoggies.
It's not him. It's us. Like that. I actually like that. I think that's pretty good. And maybe it's just me, and I understand percentages and everything, no matter how bad I am at math. 39. I'm actually impressed that he's right. He's been right that much.
That's almost 40%. Yeah, that's not too shabby.
Look, you all understand this groundhog has no idea what's going on, no. Right? Like, he has no clue. I obviously, again, spoiler alert, it's a new groundhog some years.
Yeah.
imagine it's your first year. You're a groundhog. You spent the whole year getting pampered by these guys in these weird top hats, yeah. But you don't care because you're getting food.
Yeah.
Your land is covered. Mm-hmm. You have a safe shelter.
Exactly.
No predators, none of this stuff.
Not at all.
And then one day, they don't just take you out of your hole, like at a weird time, because groundhogs are not necessarily morning animals.
Right.
They grab him. They hold him up like he's Simba from The Lion King. So you're like, you've never been this high in your life. You've never been this high off the ground in your life. You're a groundhog. You don't exactly climb trees every day.
There's a reason that you're called that, right?
And you got thousands of people or hundreds of people or whatever it is staring back at you. And they ask you, hey, how long is this horrible thing called winter going to last? I don't speak English. Yeah. I don't know what's going on.
And then you have to interpret the vagueness of whether or not he sees his shadow.
Yes.
That's really, actually, I think they're right. I think this is on them.
Uh-huh.
It's all about the interpretation.
They used to eat Phil.
Oh, no.
This is messed up. They served him up after his first official Groundhog Day in 1887 and said he was quite tender.
Mm.
Thankfully, they stopped doing this.
Oh, goodness. Oh, wow.
That's messed up.
Imagine if they kept doing that.
I mean, this is what happens if you don't get the prediction right.
Yeah, yeah. You're on the plate, man.
Thank goodness we don't do this to our weather people. Really bad model.
We'll have to ask Paul that when he's on at 8 o'clock.
Yes, we do. Yes, we definitely do. He may not even come back.
Yeah, you just hang up on us.
The last time Paul joins us. Despite that fact, officials at Groundhog Day claim he is immortal. Supposedly drinks something called the Elixir of Life every summer, and they've been using the same groundhog all these years. One for the kids there.
Oh, my gosh. They have some kind of weird theology with this. I don't know.
Phil has a wife.
Oh.
Phil has a wife.
Okay.
Her name is Phyllis. They've never had kids, but that's all Phil's fault because of his work. But that's just what Phyllis says. The Groundhog Club says she doesn't.
You're never home.
Oh, look who's home again. Did you have fun, Mr. Celebrity? Was it nice out there? Why am I turning her into Edith from Archie Bunker?
Actually, you sound like Mrs. Potato Head from the Toy Story movies.
I kind of do, actually. Yeah, it kind of does. During Prohibition, Phil threatened to take drastic action. He said if they didn't let him have a drink, he'd impose 60 more weeks of winter.
Wow.
Nice.
Man, if that groundhog actually does have the power and control over the weather, we're in trouble.
We really are.
We're in real trouble.
The Gobbler's Knob event attracts thousands of people. Mm-hmm. The record was around 40,000 in 2020.
What?
Yeah.
40,000 people?
What is it, that or that it was in 2020 is more surprising.
Well, that was right before.
It was right before. I was thinking actually a year later. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Then the next year, it was zero, of course. Then they did event virtually 2021. Before the Bill Murray movie came out 30 years ago this month, by the way, only 2,000 people ever showed up for it. Huh.
That's it?
So the movie Groundhog Day really did help the holiday Groundhog Day.
How about that?
It helped promote it and all that. Yeah. I would have never thought of that. I guess, but I wouldn't have necessarily thought too hardly about that.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Interesting.
Very fascinating.
And speaking of the movie, some nut just finished watching it every day for a full year.
What?
He wrote an article about it for theconversation.com and says he went through four stages while watching it. The first month was fun, and he focused on the story. After that, he knew it so well that all he could do was zone in on tiny details. For example, there's a kid in a wheelchair in the background of a hospital scene. He realized it's the same kid Bill Murray starts catching every day when he falls out of a tree. That took him that long to figure that out? I should remove myself. I'm insane. I watch details in movies way that people never notice, and even the filmmakers are like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
The third stage started 6 months in after he'd basically memorized everything. He says watching the movie was pretty miserable at that point, and he was talking to the characters as it played. I've done that. But the fourth stage came from month 9 when he started to enjoy it again for some reason, partly because he was talking about it with other fans. It sounds like his final viewing was a big relief, though. He celebrated by watching it in a movie theater. He says he might even watch it again, but not anytime soon. yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't know.
Why?
Yeah.
Well, that seems like a weird exercise.
Is there a movie that you could do that with? Off the top of your head.
That I could watch every single day?
Yeah.
For a year. A single movie... I'm going through a bunch of movies in my head right now. Probably not.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I think that if I did, one, it would probably have to be a Rob Williams movie.
Okay.
Because I haven't been able to really watch a full movie of his since his passing, which is ridiculous. I understand. Or Heat. I think it might be Heat.
Ooh.
Only because, to me, it's like the perfect movie. And I don't mean like it's a great movie, like for everybody's going to love it, all
right,
that.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But when it comes to acting, storytelling, writing, editing,
cast.
Cast, everything, to me, I'm not saying it's the greatest movie of all time. Yeah. It's just the only movie one of the only movies I can think of that's a 10 in all those categories.
Right, right.
So I feel like, in theory, I've already watched it at least 20-some times in my life, at least. Mm-hmm. I feel, well, you know, what's another 364? But ask me 30 days in how I feel, because I'm also not the greatest at rewatching stuff.
Yeah.
Even though I just said that. If it comes to something that I haven't fallen in love with or something like that, I'm probably not going to come back to it.
Right.
So I don't know. I don't know if there is a movie.
Plus the fact that that's actually not a short movie.
Oh,
that would be a big
chunk
of your day
that
every day to watch it.
Boy, that's a great question. How long is Groundhog Day?
I think it's only like an hour and a half, right?
It's got to be.
It's a shorter movie, yeah. Or I don't know if that's shorter or standard length movie, I guess.
But
I don't know.
1 hour and 41 minutes.
Okay, so just a little bit over that, yeah. Okay.
Actually, that's a little longer than I expected it to be. Just older movies, back when they... I don't know, back when they weren't putting as much money into these things, and every director didn't feel like he was Martin Scorsese. You know, and it's every movie's got to be 3 hours.
Yeah, right.
What happened to hour and a half movies? You know, tell the story.
Or even before that, back in the day, when you would do double features, and movies would be like just over an hour long.
And there's so many of those movies that hold up.
Yeah.
Like, they're fine. I've watched many of them.
Their plots are fine. It's not like you're really losing anything. Yeah.
I genuinely feel like a lot of movie theater, or a lot of producers, because I joke about the director thing, because a lot of directors are Stanley Kubrick. They will film a scene 90 times and, you know, use the first take every time and stuff, but there's not a deleted scene that they don't want to use.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to notice a lot of Stanley Kubrick's films, not a lot of deleted scenes.
No.
The Shining's got a couple, that's about it. So when it comes to directors like that, a little bit of an outlier. But most directors, I don't think that they would necessarily want to make a 2.5 hour movie. But if I'm going to charge you $30 for a movie,
get your money's worth, right?
I'm going to try to make sure that you feel like you get your money's worth,
and
that usually means longer time in the theater.
That's true.
If I keep you in the theater longer, that usually helps movie theater companies as well.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably going to buy more snacks, going to maybe you'll come back to the movie, that kind of thing. But that's the other part of it. The repeat value of people coming back to movies and seeing a movie again and again and again. It used to be that was the biggest deal.
Yeah.
Okay, you had a great opening week. How'd you do your second week? How'd you do your third week? That's still a little bit of a tell.
Sometimes you'll get movies that do that, yeah.
But it's really hard to get people to come back to the theater after they've already seen it.
Yeah.
Especially if a movie is 2.5 hours.
Right, and the cost. I mean, that always comes into it as well.
I wonder how much that would improve if movies were a little bit shorter.
That's a good question.
Let's make some and find out.
Find out. Let's do it.
We're going to go do that. We'll
make a movie.
Yep. We're going to go start. We'll be
It's about
we'll be
two
back.
Radio people that...
It's going to be horrible. We'll be back in a few, because our career is already wrapped up. This morning's on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. It is 7:21 on the clock. And, of course, it is our National Day of Calendar time for this February 2nd, 2023. I still can't believe it's February.
I mean, neither. I was just going to say that. Wow. Where did you... It just...
Yeah.
It just,
poor January.
Man.
Gone.
Gone.
Groundhog Day, of course, as we've hit on. This is the big one for today. Maybe the headline of the day. We'll take a look and see what else stands out. It's World Wetlands Day.
Ooh, very good one.
Right away, out the gate, we get an important one.
Very important one.
World Wetlands Day is a great excuse to go tramp around in your nearest wetland, but it's also a great chance to take a moment to think about the environment, have a seat, and let's take a look at the wetlands and why it is important to have a day in their honor. Do you know what exactly the wetland is? A wetland can be defined as land that contains marshes or swamps. Mm-hmm. Believe we have a couple of those around here.
We do. Quite a few around here, yeah.
I'm trying to see. They mention importance in everything.
Yeah, right.
There is data that proves the link between healthy wetlands and the decrease of violent weather.
That's correct.
Also, when there are healthy wetlands, the people nearby tend to be healthier. UN Water estimates that 90% of natural hazards are water-based. 90%.
That's remarkable.
This makes the wetlands so vital and so important. Mm-hmm. When violent weather comes in, the wetlands act as a buffer.
That's right.
This gives time for the bad weather to slow a little and give time for people nearby to get to safety. Mm-hmm. If the wetlands can stall the weather slightly, there can be less damage to property and loss of life.
Yep.
So maybe now there's some of you out there that aren't, these tree hugger and environmentalists always talking about the planet and saving it and everything.
Well.
We're talking about saving you too, knucklehead.
Yeah, right.
It ain't just the planet that we care about.
Well, and because, the wetlands, there's so much life in them. The teams with wildlife and insects, the important, ecosystems, is probably one of the most important ecosystems we have on the planet.
I think you're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And I think that that all is important information. I think it should be common knowledge, especially on days like this. We should have this being reported on and things.
Yes.
I will say as well, though, it shouldn't take that. Like the wetland.
Oh, I agree.
You should be able to look at a wetland and say, wow, that is amazing.
Yeah.
It's just a bunch of water in the ground and all that. What's so amazing? You just take a look.
Yeah.
See what's floating around in there. See what it is just about the. I don't know. There's so much of the planet. There's so much of just everyday life to me that we could take an extra moment on and be like, that is pretty amazing.
It is.
National Sled Dog Day.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah, this is one of those things that I have always thought would be pretty cool to do.
Where I'm from, of course, there was, everyone knows, not everyone, but most people know about the Iditarod, the big sled dog race. One of the other big ones on the tour was up in Duluth, the Duluth area, the John Bear Grease.
Oh, I haven't heard of that one.
A sled dog race that happens every year.
Oh, I haven't heard of that.
And that's considered one of the bigger ones as well. So it was always big news when I was growing up. It's usually, is it February, I think they
yes.
have it?
Yes. Iditarod is just also one of the more fun things to say.
It is.
It sounds so much cooler than Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Super Bowl, can we admit that Super Bowl sounds lame?
Yeah.
It does. It doesn't encompass the event nearly at all.
Thank you, Lamar Hunt.
Yeah, right. Did a lot of great things in his day. But
he did.
I mean, but of course, back then, it would have sounded creative. It would have sounded interesting and everything. Yes. But it just seems kind of now, like World Series. Like, that sounds interesting.
Doesn't that sound cool?
Yeah. I want to see this. I mean, this is the whole world.
Or even the Stanley Cup.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Sounds cool, yes. Yeah.
But Super Bowl just got a little bit of a letdown. Iditarod? Ooh. Iditarod Bowl? Ooh. No, kidding. Of course.
I'd love to see them do that, yes.
But yes, I was trying to look, and it does. Sled dogs are thought to have evolved in the mountains regions of the Northeast Asia over 35,000 years ago.
Wow.
But are thought to have started actually pulling sleds for people about 3,000 years ago.
Very cool.
I was just trying to see if when the Iditarod takes place,
do they have any information on that?
Yeah.
It doesn't look like it. So,
no,
anyway.
No. Moving on.
Moving on.
National Tater Tot Day.
I love tater tots.
They are good.
They are the best.
I have to have them a little crunchy, though.
Oh, I'm with you 100%.
I don't like soft tater tots. Something about it is weird. Something about the texture. I don't like it.
You know, I'm with you. Tater tots need to be a little crispy.
I'm weird about potatoes to begin with, though.
No, really? I hadn't picked up on that, James.
And water is wet.
Yes.
Another random fact for you, everybody. It is lung leaving day.
Huh? What?
Yeah, lung leaving day. What would you do when faced with a terrifying reality of certain death if you didn't act now? Add to that a young husband and infant baby as well. What of them? What of their futures? The heart-rending fear and reality is what lung leaving day is all about. It's about how to look that fear in the face and still have the dignity and grace to move forward. Mm. It's about honoring those who have had to find it within themselves to resist the urge to curl up in a tiny ball and hide.
Okay.
This heart-rending fear and reality is what lung leaving day is all about. It's about how to look that fear in the face and still have the dignity and grace to move forward.
Mm.
It's all about honoring those who have had to find it within themselves to resist that urge.
Okay.
I don't know why they repeated that.
I think that's cut and paste error.
Yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, I think so. You know, this makes me think of my kids right away. And I will say that... when I was growing up, where I was growing up, the way it was, and as violent as it was, you find out of things about yourself right away.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the things you learn is how you could react in moments of tension.
Yep.
Do you run where angels fear to tread?
Mm-hmm.
I found out at a young age I'm one of those fools that has no problem doing that, that doesn't think twice about those things. This gave me a bit of a lack of fear growing up and not really being afraid of anything. My father told me when I was young, everything has a weakness, so anything can be defeated. So when it came to the big guy down the block that always picked fights with me and everything, I didn't have to be afraid of him because I knew he favored his left.
Mm-hmm.
He only ever punched with his right side. So all I had to do was focus on his left side, had him out. Then I had kids. And then I understood what fear really is, what it truly, truly is.
It does change everything.
And that early stuff that I felt early on in my life has helped me as a dad just be able to balance that. Because there were moments with my son when he was first born, with my youngest, even to this day with my oldest, where I'm thinking about taking a flight with her and, you know, and all this, and immediately, there's been all these troubles with the planes and all like stuff that I don't normally worry about just for myself. It immediately, you have to face it when it comes to your kids.
Yep.
And with your kids... You don't want to look like, oh my God, you guys, what's going to happen? Like, no. You're calm, you're cool, collected. I actually think of my youngest, Isabel, when she was climbing stairs and she slipped. And her bottom, like her bottom tooth went right under her lip and just a gusher.
Yep.
A gusher. This is the first big thing that's happened to my ex-wife and I at the time. Mandy is very, very smart, incredibly smart, way smarter than I am, but not in a lot of moments like this. A little bit of panic to her.
Mm-hmm.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Isabel locks eyes with her right away. So I sit in front of her, and so that Izzy's looking right at me, and I'm calm and collected and all that. And she immediately started to calm down. And in that moment, I understood exactly what my job was. Not just that, but that was a big part of my job. I found my place. Mandy had really was the, not that I wasn't doing things like changing diapers and stuff like that, but I felt like she was pulling so much of the weight. All of a sudden, I felt a place in this.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that's the first thing I think of, is that moment, that day, and the idea of what fear really is. We think we understand it for, and if you're not a parent, you're going to have another fear that's yours. Maybe it's a significant other, or an animal or something like that. But I almost guarantee you don't know fear until it involves somebody else.
Yeah, especially someone you have complete responsibility for. That's the part that got me.
That's a good way to put it.
It's like, whoa, I have to take care of this person. Yikes.
I probably could have saved the audience a lot of rambling if I had just said what you just said. It's Candlemas Day.
Oh, Candlemas Day.
Candlemas Day. I'm sorry, Candlemas Day. Yeah, that's a much better way to put it. So what is this? Have you heard this holiday spoken about but never really understood what it is? Let's take care of that. There are two answers that mostly depend upon which way you want to look at it. First is the Christian viewpoint. Then there is the more ancient viewpoint. So let's take a look at these.
Yeah.
Let's see here. Candlemas Day is known as the Feast of Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary, or the Feast of Presentation of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
It is a holy day on the Christian religion, or in the Christian religion, which commemorates when Jesus was presented at the temple.
Yep.
This account can be found in Luke 2:42-40 of the Bible. On this day, Christians will often remove their Christmas decorations. Of course.
If they haven't already. I didn't realize we could keep them up till Candlemas. I don't know what I'm doing next year.
Yeah, right. Okay, and if people complain, just like, hey, this is why.
It's Candlemas, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Real quickly, time out before we keep going with this.
Yeah.
So this is a holiday I literally have never heard of.
Okay.
I've never heard of this before in my life. And I'm so proud of you Christians. So proud. I thought it was just us Jews that had billions of holidays that nobody's heard of.
Oh, no.
Nicely done. Nicely done, everybody.
This one is celebrated more in the Catholic and the Orthodox Church.
Gotcha.
It's more that. But if you notice, the fun thing about
this. Should have said Catholics, not Christians. So I apologize.
If you look at the story, though, they didn't note it in the thing here. He's being presented in the temple, which means he's getting his name.
Oh.
Which means, because he was the Jewish.
Right, right.
Yeah, this is what it's about, actually, which is kind of fascinating when you think about
it. That is really fascinating, actually. Wow. I want to learn more about that, actually. I want to look into that a little bit more. In Mexican tradition, some of the important celebrations on this day include enjoying family meals and tamales.
Let's get some tamales,
It's, of course, a classic dish and everything. Mm-hmm. That looks like kind of the wrap of that. Yeah. There are also celebrations across Swiss, Romandy, and Belgium, and France.
Mm-hmm.
It is considered a day for crepes.
Crepes, yes.
Crepes, yeah.
Oh, okay. Crepes and tamales, which are actually kind of similar. But anyway, yeah.
And it is National Crepe Day.
Oh.
So keep that in mind. That's an interesting one. It's also National Hedgehog Day. Hedgehogs are awesome.
That's not Sonic.
No, I mentioned my ex before Mandy. Mm-hmm. We had a zoo when we were living together.
Right, right.
And one of the animals we had a couple of were hedgehogs.
Oh, very nice.
They are incredibly sweet animals. Mm-hmm. They really are. They have such personalities. Mm-hmm. They are really like. I think that they're one of the better animals you can recommend for families.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
Not exactly the animal you can pick up and pet all the time, but you can pet them, mm-hmm. especially once they lay on their back. Mm-hmm. And they, like, if you rub their belly, it is one of the cutest, funniest things you'll ever see in your life.
They're not very big. They're very small, too. Yeah.
World Play Your Ukulele Day.
All right, Beth, I hope she's listening.
That's
Get out her ukulele.
I know a lot of people that have always wanted to learn to play that. It's a good one. I love that instrument. It's a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
It's National Brown Dog Day. That's all right. Not bad.
We'll see if the Humane Society brings in a brown dog for us today.
Ooh, yeah. With an estimated 900 million dogs in the world, it's obvious that there are little pups. These pups bring a lot to us, and it's a day to celebrate the brown ones.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. And finally, it is Optimist Day.
All right.
I don't know. I guess it is. No. It is, of course, Optimist Day. It's a great day. Are you a glass half full or glass half empty kind of person? If you're a natural optimist in life, you might consider yourself a glass half full kind of person.
Yes.
And I don't think that there's... I think that, you know, this terminology we use, I genuinely think that most people are a little of both.
Yeah.
You know, a little pessimistic, a little optimistic. I really do. I don't know. To me, teach their own, but right. I do think that it's great that if you feel like you're one more than the other, find the opportunities to maybe try the other side.
Yeah.
I don't think that hurts. I don't think that that's a bad idea every once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
I know for me it was important to do that growing up.
Yeah.
I didn't do it a whole lot, so... I encourage others to try that one.
Yes.
Encourage you to also check out Melissa's News. It's coming up right now here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR. Yeah, you picked a good one here. I don't think here in Wisconsin we can have bumper music and not have this.
Yeah, I know.
We have to have this. I don't want to play on the drum all day.
I love Todd Rundgren.
Todd Rundgren. Only one. Yeah. There'll only ever be one Todd Rundgren. We get into the mix here with our morning show. Thank you so much for joining us. Seth and James hanging out with you. And how much would you pay to get rid of certain things? That's kind of where we're going with this next one here.
Okay.
A new survey asked people what they'd give up to never have to worry about various ailments, including COVID-19.
Okay.
On average, Americans would pay more than $13,500 to be cured of COVID forever.
Wow.
Never coming back, no trace, no nothing. Okay. But there are two conditions that we'd pay more to be rid of, even more than COVID.
Okay.
More things that we would... You want to start at the bottom or the top of this list?
Let's start at the... I'm not curious about the top today.
Okay. The number one thing people would pay to get rid of, insomnia.
Ooh. Are you on board with that one? I'm kind of curious what your opinion is on that one. 100%.
100%. I well documented on the show. Yeah. I've suffered from insomnia or been nocturnal since I was a child.
Right.
And
right.
I would love to know what it's like to actually get normal, regular sleep. When I worked third shift, I did that for a long time, and I think that may have been the closest I came to having a bit of a normal sleep pattern.
Wow.
And at the same time, it was still 3 to 4 hours. I don't think I've ever slept on a normal average more than 4 or 5 hours a night.
Wow.
Ever in my life. Like, even when I was a child. You ask my mom and dad wherever gray hair they have came from. Well, almost all of them.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
I was also 0 through 13, and those were some really hard years for them, too. Love you, mom and dad. For me personally, I'd pay for this. I don't know if I would pay $27,000 for it, though.
Wow.
On average, we'd pay $27,400 never to deal with insomnia again.
Wow. See, you're not even willing to go there. That's so funny.
Not sure. I'm being honest.
Yes, you are. You're being honest.
It's Monopoly money we're talking about here. It's
true.
Not real.
It's true.
I could easily lie, but I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know.
Don't you remember yesterday what Paul Rudd said?
That's right.
And if we can't trust Paul Rudd, who can we trust?
It's a very solid point, and I actually think it should be on money. allergies. Allergies is another one. Now, we wouldn't spend nearly as much on that. 13,900. So almost 14 G's we'd spend to get rid of all of our allergies for good.
If I could get rid of someone else's allergies for good, because I really don't have allergies. Like my son's allergies? Yes, I would pay quite a bit for that. Absolutely.
We mentioned COVID. Just a little hair under that. People would spend $13,500 to be rid of COVID forever.
Okay.
Stomach aches and cramps. $12,100 to get rid of those.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mysterious cramps. Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Well, especially for women. It feels like they asked just men this survey because I feel like just from what I've heard from women, not at all trying to pretend like I know what it's like, but from what I've heard from, I know some incredibly strong, tough women, and the only time I've ever heard them say anything like of a pain or an ailment, including after childbirth, is cramps. So I imagine that one. I'd spend some money on. Acne and pimples. People would spend $11,200 on that.
Wow.
Now here's another one.
Okay.
Ask a teenager before he's going to prom or on his first date or something like that how much you'd spend to get rid of that pimple.
That might be a little bit higher.
Right on your forehead. And you think that everybody in the world could see it from a satellite from space.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you'd spend on that.
That's one thing I never understood about, you know, teenagers and stuff like that. They've all got something like that. Why does it matter?
Yeah, but isn't that the crux of it, though? You think you're the only one going
through
it.
That's true.
You feel like you're the only one. Or it's worse for you than it is for others or stuff like that.
You know, James, you know what we need to do? We need to invent an instant adolescent kit.
Oh.
So you can go through it in like an afternoon.
Yeah, yeah.
And just go through all of that stuff, the zits and the you know, you just don't understand me kind of thing.
Yes, I like that. Get it all out in one afternoon. Yeah, just one afternoon. Oh, Timmy's going through his adult afternoon.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like a rite of passage. It's like a bar mitzvah or something.
Yeah, exactly.
I like that. I will say this, too. It feels like because of what we go through as teenagers and everything, it just should be a given. Once you turn, I don't know, like 25, never acne again. Like, the human body is incapable of acne after that. Because you get a pimple at 34 or something like that, and you're like, what the what, man? Why?
I thought
Why?
I was done with this.
This isn't right. That shouldn't happen.
Jeez.
Throwing up. People would spend $10,000 to never have that happen again.
Wow. I guess that's... I guess that's not too surprising.
Yeah,
yeah. It's not a pleasant, you know, event. So, yeah.
Actually, the first one I would have had on this list is actually number 7 on here for the average for people.
Okay, sure.
Migraines and other intense headaches.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
$9,300 is the average people would pay for that.
And I wonder if it's because that's not as common. You know, I know several people who have the migraine issue, of course. And for them, it's terrible.
I get a couple a week, and I have since I was about 14. Mm-hmm. And it's if you took a glass bowl, threw about 16 razor blades in there, and shook it up. Mm-hmm. That's what it feels like is going on in my brain right mm-hmm. now. So yep. way my mornings usually are.
Yeah.
This 9,000, are you kidding me? I double it right now. Yeah. And I don't think I'm alone on that one. I think people that deal with migraines on a regular basis get what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
my
sister is the same way.
Hangovers. $3,200 we'd spend to get rid of those.
Oh, that, you do that to yourself.
That's lazy.
Yeah,
that's
lame. No, that's lame. That's lame.
Plus, I know people that like kind of wear it as a badge if they have only because they barely never ever get them.
Oh, I see what you mean.
So okay. If they do get them, they're like, oh, really tired.
Whoa, I'm really hungover.
I really earned that one. Not surprising. Those are all men that I'm talking
about. Yeah.
The responses varied from state to state. For example, people in Mississippi would shell out $69,000 to be permanently immune to COVID, more than 5 times the national average.
Wow.
Huh. People in Massachusetts would pay $65,000.
Wow. Interesting.
But people in Connecticut, literally next door to Massachusetts, would pay $591 for a COVID cure. Way under the average price.
This is really... Yeah. Interesting. Wow.
It's also worth less than $1,000 for people in North Carolina, Idaho, Rhode Island, and Arizona.
And I see no like connecting tissue here between those states. That's really interesting.
This is life.
Yes, it is.
This is America. America. This is America. In a separate question, people were asked what they'd give up for permanent immunity to COVID. 78% said that they'd give up brunch.
What? Oh, God.
That ain't, no, that's not, no, that doesn't count.
I was going to say, you better not.
Here's a bigger one. 60%, pretty good number, would give up coffee.
Whoa.
I
know the answer already.
Okay, I'll say this. I would give up coffee if it meant we could all be permanently immune.
There you go.
Everybody could.
There you go.
Then I'd do it. Then, okay, sure. I will give up my elixir, my lifeblood of coffee as I'm holding onto my cup right now, even though nobody's trying to take it.
For dear life, he's holding onto it.
if everybody could be free of it, okay, sure, I'll do it.
Yeah, yeah.
But if it's just me,
forget it.
I think I'll just stay home. I'll just stay home and drink my coffee. And, you know,
you can broadcast from your house. You know, you're all good to go.
I think I'll be all right. And I'm not taking COVID lightly by any means.
No.
But, I mean, it's coffee. 35% would give up the internet. Interesting.
35. Wow, that's a decent number.
I don't believe a single one of them. I'm sorry. I'm not trying. It's Optimist Day, and I'm not being very optimistic, but I don't believe a single one of those people would actually give up the internet.
Oh, yeah.
I don't believe anybody give up coffee either, to be honest with you. 29% could go without desserts. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, well, desserts are, yeah. Sorry.
17% said they'd give up sex. Ha! You're lying. You're all lying. Every one of you. I don't care if it was a nun answering it. She lied.
I actually like 17% of people willing to say that, that's even if they maybe not don't mean
no,
it.
No, you're right, though. You're right.
That's
absolutely.
That's impressive.
That is impressive, yeah. 5% would give up their partner altogether.
Okay, there's something else going on there. Yeah, we're not going to get into that.
There's a little more going on in that one, I think. I think you're right on that. And 4.2% would give up working out. Yeah, right. Oh, of course, yeah.
You know, surprised that one's not higher.
I'd give up twisted ankles. I'll give up twisted ankles. You're welcome, everybody. Yeah, okay. take a quick commercial break.
Oh, boy.
We'll come back, have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. We appreciate the updates. Be sure to stick around. At the top of the hour, we'll have CBS News, and right after that, we'll get a live and direct update from our good friends over at the Weather Eye Weather Center, hang out with our friend Paul Trombley, let you know what's in store. Tomorrow's going to be a cold one, but it gets better after that.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be nice.
Yeah, we're going to have some nice temperatures next week and everything. Just make it through the next 48 hours, everybody.
What a weird winter, I'm telling you.
It is. It has already been an incredibly... But, I mean, I don't remember the last... normal winter.
That's true. It's been a while.
I don't even know what normal winters are anymore.
What are normal winters?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't think they exist anymore. I don't know.
They may not. I think
normal exists anymore.
Like, no.
Period. I don't know if, any subject. Like, as I'm thinking about it, I can't think of one subject where there's no quote-unquote normal.
Yeah, I think maybe we're just coming to grips with the fact that there is no normal.
Yeah.
There just isn't normal anymore.
We already knew this about people.
Yeah.
People are weird. Every single one of us.
Yeah.
From the first caveman that stood upright to the latest baby that was born.
Just born, yeah.
Hey, baby, you're weird. Welcome to the fold.
Yeah.
You know, it's all right. It's okay.
Why we should embrace it.
Yes, it makes us all connected even more.
It does.
It's something else we have in common. We're actually going to combine two stories here for this next one. Because where are all the single people? Where are all the single men?
Where are they?
I don't really care where they are, but maybe other people might. There are more than 127 million single people 18 years and older living in America.
Okay.
That's about 40% of the population.
Wow.
But some cities have more single people than others. And if you're willing to pack your bags for love, maybe this will do it for you. Tired of your area? Maybe this will make you move.
Yeah, there you go.
According to the U.S. Census data, the cities with the most singles are Richmond, Virginia, Pittsburgh, Buffalo, Newark, New Jersey, Cincinnati, Ohio, Atlanta, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, St. Louis, Minneapolis, Minnesota, and Detroit.
All right.
The cities with the most single men. Where's it raining men?
It's raining men.
Minneapolis.
Oh, really?
Taking you all back to your old stomp. Well, sort of your old stomp.
Sort of. It's home state. Yep.
Yeah, home state at least. Yes. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting. I didn't see that coming.
Wow.
I would have easily said a warmer city, you know, or anything on the West Coast. It would have been my first reaction to that or something.
Well, and I noticed there's no West Coast cities on this list at all.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating, yeah.
For single men, the cities with the most single men. So we got Minneapolis, Atlanta, Newark, Pittsburgh, Madison, Wisconsin.
Okay.
Richmond, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Buffalo. And there are some lonely cowboys in Reno, Nevada.
Okay. Whoa, outlier. Okay.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting list.
So, obviously, most cities are represented in both, you know, just not just men, but both men and women. I'm wondering, you know, this is something that I've always been curious about. What's considered single? Is it just because you say you're single? I mean, is that what it is? I guess that's what it is.
I think that's a really good question with just from what I know. Obviously, I'm not a young person.
Right.
But talking to younger people about dating. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of younger people these days that date multiple people at once and everything.
Yeah. Polyamorous?
I believe that's what that's called. I could not think of the term.
Yep.
And they make this work.
They do.
I don't think, like, if I were to try something like that with not just my age, but my romanticism, a lot of those things.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, no.
But if it works for them,
yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to judge it.
Certainly not for everyone, but I think you're right. Yeah, exactly.
And the places with the most single women, Buffalo, Richmond, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, Cleveland. Okay.
Newark, Baton Rouge, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, and Baltimore.
Hmm.
So we saw some crossovers. I see Cincinnati.
Buffalo was one of them.
Buffalo, Pittsburgh. And I think that was, Baton Rouge.
Yeah, that's right.
Baton Rouge was another one, the crossover there. Otherwise, why don't we just move all the single men from Minneapolis to Buffalo, or vice versa, move the Buffalo people to Minnesota.
Yeah, maybe they'll get better luck over there, yeah.
Not to offend you Minnesotans or the Buffalotonians out there or anything like that, but is there a real big difference in weather? Is there a huge difference in the weather?
They get more snow in Buffalo, but the cold is about the same, so yeah.
If more divorces, if more seasoned divorces are your speed, here's your list. So Spokane, Washington, Jacksonville, Florida, Reno, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Orlando, Florida have the highest, I guess, divorce rates.
Yeah, okay. So there's the West Coast representative.
There you go.
Is in the divorce rates. Okay.
That got interesting.
That got very interesting.
That's weird. Not at all what I would have expected.
No, that's very fascinating.
We're talking dating. What about when you don't want to go out on the date? So what about excuses? The top 10 excuses we've used to cancel a date.
Oh, boy.
Here are the list. I'm not feeling good. A family member is sick. I got a work emergency. I got a headache. I forgot there's something important I have to do.
If it was so important, why'd you forget it?
That's funny. That's a funny one. I realized I'm not ready for a relationship.
Wait, this is a date.
That's just a date. What are you doing, man?
Dude. Yeah, yeah.
My car broke down. I have a deadline at work. A friend or family member showed up unannounced.
Okay.
I got stuck in traffic is number 10.
That doesn't work around here.
Nope.
Train. Train would might work.
Stuck by a train.
Yeah.
Few that just outside of the top 10. My pet is sick. I forgot we're grabbing food and I already ate.
Oh.
I can't find the place.
No.
I got arrested. All right. Now, there's the first one I actually saw. They're like, okay, yeah.
Okay, there you go.
Because all these
other ones that you've just tried, James. Come on now.
And I've tried them all, and nobody's bought a single one of them. The poll also found it only takes 25 minutes before we know if there's a spark. So on a first date, the initial half hour is really important. Actually, I don't know if that's true or not, but I think that there's some truth to it. I think that there's a little something to it.
Yeah.
I think you might have an idea.
Yeah.
But there's been plenty of times I was wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Of both ways. That I was wrong, mm-hmm. like, oh, this isn't going to work, and it does, or vice versa.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that seems a little quick to me.
And I've actually never canceled a date. Now that I'm thinking about it, I've never canceled a date. I've had plenty canceled on me.
Yeah, exactly.
But I have never canceled one, now that I'm thinking about it. The top signs a date isn't going well are awkward conversations and not laughing at each other's jokes. That could be part of it. I can see that.
Whatever.
We'll take a break here, but not from each other or anything. It's just a break, commercial break. I mean, we should have to take a break. I look, you guys are the best listeners in radio. We want to keep you around.
No, they need their space, James.
This always happens to me. All right, fine. I'll see you later. We'll be back with more mornings on WFHR.